Hello, hello, my Freeform Renegades. You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thanks for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I am your host, Noel, with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Back over here in the cut.
And Andy, of course.
What's going on, everybody? It's all good. Andy here, and glad you guys can join us.
It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. We're changing things up. We're actually recording on a weekend instead of our normal weekday recordings. But wherever you listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool and feeling good. Let's get things started today. Andy, kind of want to catch up with you. It's been a long week. So what's been going on in your life recently?
So, yeah, I mean, we're getting somewhat back to normal here in Illinois. We're opening up a little. And I had a friend tell me, he gave me a piece of a blower for your garden and stuff. So I went to pick it up. And me and the missus went, and we were just like, man, what's the process here? Like, she was all like paranoid. Do we wear a mask? Can we, like, you don't really see people, you friends and stuff and family, do you want to hug them and all this? And that was like the big debate driving up to get this thing that he gave us. And she was like, and I was like, well, what is a protocol? So we're driving up there. He doesn't live too close, but we drive up there, and I was thinking, like, yeah, what exactly do we do here? And so we get there. The kids are playing in the yard, and their bicycles are out in the front yard. And then she's like, so what do we do? Like, do we wear a mask? I'm like, yeah, fuck the mask. And then I see him like, hey, what's going on, guys? You want me to wear the mask? Yes or no? And he's like, fuck it. You don't need a mask. So I'm like, all right. So we're through the first hurdle here. And then we were walking towards the house, and I'm just like, should I elbow bump them, fist bump them, give a fucking hug? And like, that's the premise. And then we stand apart, and then for like 30 seconds, and we're just like looking at each other. And I was like, man, this is kind of fucking awkward. Like, what do you do, you know? And and he's pretty much been working from home, his wife too, the kids haven't gone to school, they just go to the grocery store. And then while we was there, I see his dad was there. He's an old school, an OG, so I'm just like, fuck. So when he walked out, I was like, fuck, what do I do here? So I stuck my hand out to shake his hand, you know, after we were warned by Fucci, hey, don't fucking shake people's hand. And I was like, fuck. And he just gave me the elbow bump. I'm like, all right, cool. And then he's just like, fuck all that. He fucking shook my hand and everything. And then I was just like, all right, cool. And that's like the first time I shook somebody's hand like in fucking months. And it was kind of weird. And then I was just like, man, should I just get my fucking hand sanitizer out? Or like, what do I do? And should I do it in front of them? And like, afterwards, like, eh. Like, I think they stigmatized it so much that I'm just like, reluctantly, it bothered me for like a second. And then I was like, fuck it, man. Like, you're starting to see more and more. I know human-to-human contacts were the biggest thing, but he looked good. He looks like he lost some weight, the father. So I'm like, I think I'll be all right. And we just fucking hung out and talked and shit and stuff like that. But there was this big, like, everybody, we were having, not, I want to call it anxiety, but that was like, what do we do? Like, I haven't seen him since, I think January or something. So, and I was just like, fuck, man, this is like, that's the big challenge now that we're starting to reopen and this new phase that we're in here. And I think a lot of people are going to be going into that dilemma. Like, what exactly do you do, you know?
Right. I actually relate to that because this couple days ago, I recently picked up something from my cousin's house. He had gotten me this birthday gift. So I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll pick it up. And so I was in the similar boat. I didn't know whether or not to wear a mask or whether or not we could shake hands. But I ended up wearing a mask just to, you know, be safe about it still. At least until there's like a kind of a general consensus that everything is going back to normal in terms of that. And then I don't like shaking hands too much to begin with. To me, it's like if I wave at you or something, that's my hello. And then that's it. And then I come up and like start talking and that's it. You know, there's no need for me to
a head nod like, hey,
yeah, you know, something like that too. A head nod or a wave, depending on who it is. probably a wave to like kids or female, and then like a head nod to the guy, and then but that's it. Like I don't feel a need to like do anything more. I don't know. I guess I was raised a little different. I don't need as much physical contact. It's just more of an expression of my feelings. Like, hey, how you doing? Like excited, you know, smiling, you know, happy. That's more of the way I express myself, I guess.
Right. I think this is, you know, I know we're in phase three, is it? Mm-hmm. But to me, I would still be cautious. I look at the news and just see some of these people. What's something that we're going to discuss a little bit later, but you see these group of people just gathering together, not wearing masks, having physical contact with each other. And I actually had a situation where I had a roof guy come over because it was a panel that had fallen off the side of the roof. So I called this fix-it guy that does some work for Ineda, my wife's grandmother. So he's like, yeah, he does some work. So he came over, and like you said, Andy, he's like an old school, you know, Mexican, you know, he's an old school guy. I know he's going to want me to shake his hand. So when he's walking up to me, I got my mask on. He has his mask on. And I was just like, I'm just going to shake this guy's hand. So I shake the guy's hand. We work out how much it's going to be. And he gets to work. And as soon as I turned back around and went inside the house, the first thing I did was wash my hands. Because I'm like, I just touched this guy's hand, so I want to go wash it before I touch anything else with this hand. But I didn't feel comfortable doing it. As I was doing it, I was conscious that I was doing it and how I can't touch shit with this hand until I wash it. I can't touch anything with it because right now this hand is contaminated. With this guy's, whatever I touched with this guy. Yeah, it was something like that where I had a mental note, don't touch anything else. So, yeah, I think it's going to be kind of crazy. And not to steal the subject, Andy, but we also went to Jimmy John's. Mm-hmm. We were driving home from doing like a grocery pickup or something. We were out and about, me and Alana and Junior. And when we're coming back, we're like, let's go to Jimmy John's. We'll go through the drive-thru so we won't have to get out of the car and talk to anybody. And we'll just order a couple sandwiches. So we went through the drive-thru, made our order. And when we come up to the drive-thru, the lady that was at the register, she had a mask. But Alana glances to the guy making the sandwich because he's in our sight of, you know, eyesight. And he does not have a mask. He has a mask, but it's down on his chin. So he just has it down. And he's making our sandwiches. And I'm like, are you all right with that, Alana, or is this an issue? And she's just like, I don't feel comfortable. And I'm like, okay, so we won't pay. We will ask for our money back because by this point, we had paid, you know, because when you come up to the window, you give them your money and you pay for it and you kind of wait for your order. So needless to say, there was a short, you know, conversation back and forth, but we asked them for our money back and got our money back. But it's that new life now. Do you interact with people the same as we used to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling less and less like the more info is coming out. And I mean, like I've talked about it before in previous podcasts, like they fucking scared us into this. And the only real way that you get it now is it the biggest thing that they're finding out is human to human contact. So that's why the shaking the hands, I really thought hard about it. I was just like, fuck. But, and then as soon as I got into the car, like I fucking, you know, got the hand sanitizer and shit. And I like really thought about just whatever you do, don't touch your fucking face. Cause that's the big one. That's how most people get it. They touch something and then they touch their face or something. And that's how people really get sick. The surface stuff, more studies have come out that you shouldn't really have to worry about that. It's always just, that's why they constantly say, wash your hands with soap, because that's how the stuff's getting transmitted. And the surface stuff and the food stuff, like at the grocery store, they're saying, yeah, you can disinfect it, but you're going to be all right. The really way people are getting sick is by because they're touching their face and stuff or human-to-human contact.
Right. So do you think like like this example that you gave us, you touched your friend's hand. Now, if your hand does have, for whatever reason, this guy has COVID, and you have it on your hand now. Now, when you put your hand on the chair, now your chair has it, you know, where you put your hand. Mm-hmm. And then you grab your phone to check what time was it. And now your phone has it. Yep. And then you grab your keys to open the door to get into your car. Now your keys have it.
Yeah.
You put, and do you believe in that? That
the studies show that they told us that they just released it like 2 weeks ago that you're not going to get it from those surface things. Like, yeah, they tell you, yeah, clean it, but it's not, they're finding out a lot of people didn't get sick from that.
It's like unless they cough on something and then you touch that.
Like you touch it and you like the big thing is human to human. The handshake, that's a big risk because if you touch, that's why they're early on. They're like, don't touch your face because that's how it's getting in your body or whatever. That's why they make you wear the mask. I mean, you're not really preventing it. It's you're not, if you cough or something or you're a talker that spits and shit, if that touches you, then that's the issue. But the surface stuff, I'll try to find the article. I think it was on the USA Today. They released it there. The CDC's like, it's not really as big of a deal as we thought. It's like, go ahead and disinfect, but it doesn't, remember like the handles and all this shit, do it all. Like it wasn't as a big of a deal. People weren't getting sick like that. It was all human to human. The social distancing, that's still important and stuff like that. But the surfaces, it wasn't really how the stuff, it was very difficult from you to get it from surfaces. That's what I understood from the article and the study that they did.
The way I understood it, I read a similar article not too long ago, but it was more like it can survive on surfaces, just not for that long of a time. So, so like Noel said, if somebody coughs onto a table, it'll stay there for an hour or two. And then it'll dissipate. So in that hour or two, it's on that surface. So if you touch that surface with your hand and then touch your face, even though you didn't physically touch that guy, you can have it, you know, you can contract the illness.
Yes.
Or even this, what if the guy that you shook hands with, what if he coughed into his hand, shook your hand, now you have it on your hand and then you put it on your phone? And then
but that's what I'm saying. The study that I read shows people weren't getting sick from that.
I think it was less likely that you
less
could get
likely
sick.
That you right. could get it from that. It was like a huge freaking number, like a huge percentage.
It's kind of like an STD with a condom. You're less likely to get it, but you can still get it.
Yeah. That type of shit. It's like you fucking and you like pull out. There's a chance she could still be pregnant,
but
it's less likely.
Right.
But yes, there's still a chance. That type of percentages. You're taking a gamble. So the for a while I was like,
I don't like the rewards on that gamble, man.
You're disinfecting, like I was like the fucking knobs like twice a day here at the house and all that. And then when I read that, it's more bullshit that they scared people. Not bullshit, but it's just like that's not your concern.
Extra precautions.
Yeah. It's the hand-to-hand shit. So, I mean, like, whatever, man. Like, it's just, you know, it is what it is. That's something to me. I wear a mask because, I mean, that's what they're asking us to do. I'm not really comfortable with it. I wear it at work. And it's hard to work on a fucking 90-degree day with a fucking mask on and shit. But,
They don't got AC in where you work?
Well, I work in the office, and I'm short a guy, so I got to help in the shop, and that's when I got to go. But, you know, it is. We'll get around it.
It's going to be something new to deal with,
But so I wish I was more at home and stuff using my streaming services. Like, you know, well, he says you were talking about you got Netflix reluctantly. I think, like, they have 20 million fucking subscribers. Why did you reluctantly get it?
So I think up until now, I've always had another option. And I still do. But I was kind of looking to see if there was any kind of good deals or whatever I can get. And it wasn't expensive as what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more like in the $20, $30 range. And this is going off of my my knowledge of YouTube TV. I once had that, and that was probably about a year, year and a half ago. I got it for maybe about 6 months to a year, and it was a $40 subscription. But you would be able to get access to live TV through right. YouTube, as well as movies and all this other stuff. So I got it mainly for my parents, and that's exactly why I got Netflix now. It's for my family, for the kids that, you know, they'll visit, my niece and nephew, niece and nephews. Whenever they come over, they'll be able to watch movies or shows or whatever. And yeah, I was reluctant because it's like there's other alternatives that are free, so I don't need to spend money on Netflix. But there are some shows that I want to see that I haven't been able to get anywhere else. So I'm like, fuck it, man. There's a free trial right now. I'm enjoying the free trial. At the end of this trial, which is in July, then I'll probably renew it maybe a couple months and see how the family likes it. If they like it, I'll keep it. It's not too expensive.
Let me ask you, Noel, do you have T-Mobile? Because T-Mobile gives you Netflix for free if you have a certain package that they offer.
Interesting. I do. I got the family package, though, so I'd have to ask
right.
Efren.
Right. I have the family package, but it's like there's like the basic family package, and then there's the next level above it where it's like another $10, and then they... With that, they offer you like all these other pluses, and one of them is Netflix for free. So just something to look into if you're a little reluctant to maybe even keep Netflix right now after the promotion, but just something to maybe look into.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, thanks for letting me know.
Well, how much what plan did you get, and how much did it cost? Because they have a lot of different plans now.
Yeah, they got three. There's a basic, which is like just standard definition, no HD. It's like $8.99 or something like that. And then you get the HD 1080p version, and you get like two people, two screens you can watch it on, and $12.99, I want to say. The highest, the premium, that's the one that I got for the free trial, and I might still renew it. I'm going to look into the whole T-Mobile thing now. But it's $15.99, I believe. And that one gets four users, four screens at one time. And that's Ultra HD, so that's 4K.
Yeah, I had the $12.99. I canceled my Netflix because, you know, we talked about it in other podcasts. I got the Disney Plus and Hulu. But now they email me all the time saying that I could restart with the comeback, and they'll give me what I had before for $8.99.
Oh, nice.
So I find that interesting, and I don't know. But yeah, I get that email at least once a month. And I mean, I use my sister's Netflix now. And I'm like, I check it out once in a while, but I don't feel like I'm really missing much.
What program made you jump onto Netflix, Noel?
So there's this new show that I wanted to watch, and I was looking everywhere for it through my normal free 99 sources. And anyway, I couldn't find it. The show is called Dark, and it's a mystery horror, it seems like, or thriller type. And it's three seasons. It's a German show, which is interesting. But I've actually been on a foreign movie and TV kick recently, just watching a bunch of foreign stuff. So I'm interested in this German TV show.
Akte Liebe.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I use Netflix just because, like I mentioned, I have T-Mobile and I get the free promotion. So we watched The Witcher. We watched all the Witcher ones right there. And right now we're in the middle of finishing up Hell on Wheels. And then the next one that I'm going to try again, it's like the third time I've started it. I'm going to try Mad Men again and see if I can get through that.
Yeah, but we just finished that. Yeah.
It was but Netflix good. Is a great,
you know, I they think got it's, a lot of it's great shows. It's gone, dude. They got rid of it in June when we were binging it. They're like, they put a little thing like, leaving Netflix June something. So it might be gone. It? Yeah,
because I searched it on Amazon Prime and they didn't have it there. And I searched it on Netflix and I saw it there. So I added it to my list to hopefully start it as soon as I finish Hell on Wheels. But you might be right. I know programs go on and off from these different, you know, providers all the time.
What was funny is they curse, and they're, and I don't remember them cursing when I was watching it on network TV. So that was interesting.
Yeah, no, I would actually look out for Ozark. Have you heard of that one, Daniel?
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stuff on that, and I watched a trailer, and it looked okay, but it wasn't anything like super like, man, I gotta watch this kind of thing. So, you know, I glanced at other stuff. Like, I watched a few episodes of Office and got a couple laps out of that. But they just have an abundance of a library. Their library is so huge that I'm sure, like, one day, like, when I had Amazon Prime and that was the only one that I had, I kind of got sick of it because I had felt like I watched everything that I want to watch on this thing. So now that I just recently got this T-Mobile upgrade with Netflix, it's like it's the new thing. So I've been watching a lot more Netflix, and periodically I glance over at Prime, and then now that looks fresh because now there's new stuff that I haven't seen there. So I think it's best to have maybe two streaming services so that you can bounce onto one, kind of consume all the new stuff, and then once you're done kind of consuming what you got to on that one, you could jump onto the other one, and now they got some new stuff.
Yeah, no, I hear what you mean on that. Yeah, I got Amazon Prime as well. More so for the delivery stuff and the deals and all that. But the video is pretty nice too. Yeah, no, I just mentioned it because you said you're going to watch Mad Men. And if you're like on the fence about it, Ozark's probably the better option to go with instead. It's kind of like a mix between Breaking Bad and Get Shorty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I keep hearing people talk about it. So maybe that'll be the next one I jump onto because Hell on Wheels, this is the last season that we're on, and from what I was Googling, I don't think the show is going to continue. I believe it was on hiatus with all this COVID stuff, and the latest talks were that the show is going to get canceled and they're not going to finish off the next season, which they were hoping to do. So whatever cliffhanger they're going to leave it on, that's the way the show is going to end. I was telling my wife, so we're going to have to find something new to watch.
The captain on Discovery was the guy on Hell on Wheels.
And yeah, it's the same actor.
I think that show ain't coming back.
Yeah, I know Netflix or A&E or whoever's the producer on there, or AMC, that they said that they were not going to do it. But from what I was reading, Amazon Prime or Netflix, they were going to produce the last season so that they could just wrap it up. And I was reading like kind of like a mini series, maybe like 6 episodes, and then that's it, and boom, it's done. But I guess with all this COVID and now with scheduling and all this, that the more talks have gone on to possibly the show just being canceled and not having that last season. So it kind of reminds me of that other cowboy show, Andy, the one that also just got kind of canceled and then came back like 10 years later to finish it off. And
Deadwood, they did the Deadwood movie.
Yeah, like something like that, where is this thing going to have an episode 10 years from now, kind of closing it off?
Yeah, there's a lot of shows like that where there was like, we're just going to bring a movie to wrap everything up. And people move on, the actors move on to other shows, and it just falls off by the wayside and people forget about it.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man. I mean, some shows have their ups and downs, and it's hard to keep a good show fresh for the viewers, you know, for across like 10 seasons. Like a good show to bring up would be like Supernatural. They had like 14, 15 seasons. They're finally ending it. And it's really hard to keep any show or any audience like actively engaged for the 15 years, dude. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's tough. It's almost like you're rehashing the same stories just with a little different twist, but nothing really reinventing where you're like, man, this is new.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly why a lot of these shows are starting to end. A lot of my favorite shows have been ending recently. But, you know, when one thing ends, another one begins. And so it's always good to see, you know, new things coming out. Really quick, I wanted to give an update to our UFC fans who listen to the podcast. There was a UFC event yesterday. I'm just going to give a quick recap of the bigger fights. There were a lot of finishes, which is what I really liked about this one. This pay-per-view, it was kind of like a sleeper because they did hype it up, but it didn't have as many big names as other cards have had. And so I think a lot of people might have slept on this one, but we had about 7 finishes out of about 12 fights. Really quick to highlight, Maki Pitolo knocked out Charles Byrd, second round. You had Ian Hirsch knock out Gerald Merschert, first round. Alex Casades actually had a good defense, third round decision against Chase Hooper. Going into the main card, you got Sean O'Malley, undefeated, knocking out Eddie Wineland, a veteran, former WEC champion, knocked him out in the first round. Devastating knockout. It was a fake uppercut switched into a right hand right into the fucking jaw. Ended his night right there. Struggled to wake up for a bit. But the even worst knockout of the night, Cody Garbrandt against Rafael Assuncao. Second round knockout right at the last second, right before the bell rang. Assuncao threw a right. He missed. Cody Garbrandt, you know, ducked, dodged it, threw his right, devastated Rafael, knocked him out. He couldn't even get up and sit down correctly. He fell down again after he sat down on the bench. So this was a really bad knockout. We're going to see what happens with that. The last fight of the night, Amanda Nunes defended and dominated Felicia Spencer to retain her featherweight championship, women's featherweight championship. And it was a good fight, man. She is a freaking force to be reckoned with. So for our UFC fans, if you guys want to check it out, UFC 250, definitely worth a watch.
Now, for the pay-per-view, did they have a crowd or it was an empty arena?
Empty arena, just the camp. And even the camp, you're not allowed to have many people. I think most of them had 2 or 3 at most.
Now wrestling is doing that. How was UFC? Was it the same feel? Did you feel like it was the same thing, or did it look empty and kind of not exciting?
So what I love is that this is not new to me. When I watched The Ultimate Fighter, which is a TV show that UFC has to bring on new fighters, they haven't done it recently, but they have another show called Contender Series. Those are similar because you don't have crowds. You literally just have your fighter camp, your friends, whatever, maybe family sometimes, but that's it. So it's pretty quiet. And so watching the UFC events quiet, it was actually better. I could hear everything. I could hear the coaches, what they're saying. Even the announcers like Joe Rogan, Daniel Cormier, John Anik, like they're all talking. The camp and the fighters can hear what they're saying. So Joe's like, he needs to throw this kick. The guy's like, oh shit, let me throw this kick then.
All right.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know for wrestling, and it hasn't worked too well because you work a lot off of the crowd, and without having that crowd interaction, it's just something's missing.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. It would be nice to have it, you know, live event. They'd make more money too because you'd have people buying the gate. You know, they're losing a lot of money by not having people, you know, pack up these huge stadiums that I'm sure are still costing a pretty penny.
Yeah, and a little side note, I read this morning that Conor McGregor's retiring.
Yeah, he retired like 4 times already, dude.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a tactic. A lot of people are using it, and actually it's kind of coincidental timing. Jon Jones just recently announced his retirement. George Masvidal is actually getting his back, like he's supporting his decision and saying that, hey, if they're not willing to pay you enough to put your life on the line and get in that ring and, you know, be the champion that you are, then hey, you know, maybe it's not worth the fight. And George Masvidal, who just beat Nate Diaz for the baddest motherfucker belt, the BMF belt, legit, that actually happened. He actually is also following suit, and he is going to be probably retiring or postponing any further fights until he gets a good enough offer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so McGregor's probably doing the same, especially it's really coincidental because he posted that tweet or whatever, that message, after Amanda won her fight at the end of the pay-per-view yesterday. So a lot of people are speculating, it's probably him trying to get people's attention, kind of make it about him, not about Amanda. So that way, you know, people want to tune into his fights because, yeah, I mean, the guy... he doesn't really need to fight for money anymore, but he could definitely still make a lot of money.
Right. I'm not sure if he wants to be competitive anymore or he's just done.
Yeah, I mean it's difficult to say, but Daniel, actually, we wanted to talk about what you've been up to this week. So why don't you go ahead and give us an update?
Yeah, so nothing big exciting. Nothing like Andy where, you know, I'm tackling, you know, some viruses, you know, coming at you kind of thing. This is more, you know, at home doing the regular shit. But Junior's hair has been getting out of control. Alana's hair has been getting really long. So guess who stepped in to be the barber and be the Great Clips, or I don't even know the name of the companies that cut hair anymore. But yeah, I had to cut Junior and Alana's hair.
Game of fade or what?
Well, for Junior, he just wanted it high and tight with like a number two, and then just leave the rest of it so he can do like that comb over thing all these kids are doing.
Ah,
So
yeah.
yeah, so it was pretty easy for him, you know. I just cut it up to the line, and then he just had the comb over fade going over. So his was pretty simple, but for Alana's, I actually had to order some like shears so that I can cut her hair, because I didn't have, you know, I just got the buzzards, you know, just to give myself a fade. And so I had to buy some scissors because I just had like office scissors for like cutting paper and shit, but nothing for cutting hair. So I bought some. I watched a couple YouTube videos, and granted to say, man, it came out okay, you know. Now granted, I didn't do like some crazy layering and styling all this, you know. I just cut off like, you know, like 4 or 5 inches off the bottom, and then, you know, kind of blended the bottom so that it doesn't look like just like a straight line kind of thing. But it came out pretty good, man. I gotta say, I was pretty satisfied, and I think Alana was too. I mean, we'd have to ask her, but I think she kind of dug it.
Yeah, I was upset with the lockdown, because I literally haven't gotten a haircut in maybe 4 months, and then so like when we kind of opened up, I was just like, oh man, maybe I should go get a haircut. And I'm to a point now, I think I'm gonna let it grow out to, I probably won't, I'm thinking about not cutting it till like the fall, just to see how I look, because it's pretty fucking long, man. And I haven't had this type of long hair since I think I was like junior high or something, man. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll just let it grow out. Let me see how long I can get my fucking hair back. Me being in my 40s, I want to see, maybe I can look young and cool 90s style.
Roy, like Danny Trejo, man.
Yeah, that dude, I'm at this point where when I'm driving home, I take my hat off, my fucking hair is just like all over the place. And I haven't had that feeling. Seeing my hair in the mirror, I'm like, I'm fucking driving like 50. I'm looking in the mirror and seeing where my hair is at. And I was like, damn, man. It's like, I got really long hair, but fuck it. That's why I'm like, I'm gonna just keep it and see how long I can have it. And like, maybe I'll get a mullet in the fall and then for like rock it for like a couple weeks and shave it all off or something.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think it's something everybody's dealing with, but now that everything is kind of slowly opening up, I heard barbershops were one of the busiest places. That is, if it wasn't prevented by some protest and some of the dealings that we're going to actually discuss about now. We don't have an article, but it's more of a discussion point, so let's get into it. So, guys, what we're going to talk about today, just to round off the episode, was with the killing of George Floyd. There's been some protests going on because a lot of people, me included, think that the police officer used a little bit of excessive force. And even the other officers, I think there were four in total. Kind of use excessive force on this guy. And I know there might be some backstory. And we were kind of talking before we even started recording about how maybe they had a prior relationship together, not as a couple, but that they knew of each other as some acquaintances. So, you know, there might be some other stuff going on here, but granted to say, it's caused a little hiccup in the reopening phase three of a lot of countries, with protests, looting, and you know, whatnot. So, just to open it up, what do you guys think about the situation? Do you not agree with all the protests and the looting, but do you believe these cops were in the wrong in the situation?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, I think we could all agree. We all saw the video. There were some communication. I mean, that guy, what they did to George Floyd was was wrong. He got murdered. And then if you really, you know, look into the video, I mean, there's a cop talking to him like, hey, I think is the Asian one goes, should we roll him onto the side? Don't you think something, he called it some delirium. I forgot what the exact word. And the guy goes, nah, the cop is like, nah, he's good where he's at right now. And then, so yeah, I mean, he was, his knee was in the back of his neck for like 9 minutes. And we really don't know. They use the word fraud because he had a fake $10 or $20 bill. I really, to this day, I really don't know what exactly why the police were called. I just knew there was some discrepancy with a check or money. And being a cop is hard, but when you see that video, it's kind of rough. I mean, it's fucking rough to defend that type of tactic. I know you and me, Danny. Over the years, we've had discussion about, you know, police, you know, this is not the first time this type of shit's happened. But yeah, it's pretty fucking rough. I mean, when you look at the video, and definitely there should be some protesting, the looting. I can't agree with that. But you should practice your First Amendment when you see stuff like that, because that's fucking rough. There's no, and I think pretty much the consensus across America, everybody knows that wasn't right. You got hardcore conservatives, liberals, they're all saying this is unacceptable, this can't happen, because what happened to that American citizen, his due process was denied, and now he's dead for it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what your quick thoughts are on it, Noel. Did you see the video of the arrest, and do you think there's any kind of thread that these cops could even stand by to even protect themselves?
So I'm looking up George Floyd's last words, because I saw an Instagram post. Somebody put it. I want to say it was one of the celebrities, Alexandra Daddario. She posted like somebody protesting, holding up a board with his last words, just saying, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Stop it. You're killing me. And I watched the video and I'm like, there was no reason to be as excessive as they were, considering he wasn't armed. And I think there's actually going to be some law going to be enacted where anyone who's unarmed, even if you're a criminal or you're breaking the law or whatever, the cops can't use lethal force on you if you're not armed. There's no need to. I mean, cops should be trained enough to handle the situation if you're not armed to not need to use lethal force. And there's also videos that were just released of the police. It's hard to see, but I think I can get what's going on. It's pretty obvious. They have him in a car and they're like moving in a forceful manner as if they're beating him.
Right.
And so there's no excuse, man. There's no excuse for this kind of behavior. We're in 2020. We shouldn't be treating minorities in a way that they're less than, you know, other races,
or anybody.
Exactly.
We're all
human, man. At least I believe. I mean, unless something. But I mean, we're all human. We all deserve the right to live. Obviously, the right to due process. The right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. And when you're, you know, treated as forcefully like that, it's kind of hard to say that they're upholding the values that we have for this country.
Right. I don't think they were trying to kill him, but they were definitely trying to make his life difficult for the little bit that they interact with him until they take him to the prison. So I think the cops are trying to get their one or two licks in before, you know, they process Floyd. So, you know, I don't know, man. I tend to kind of lean more towards the cops' narrative typically, just because I know they have a difficult job, they have a difficult situation to go out there. But after seeing this video and being kind of, you know, taking a step back and not really taking a position, I can't see anything in there that would make me say, yeah, the cops are justified. He was reaching for his waistband. He was struggling. He was throwing elbows. He was kicking. He was spitting. You know, there was none of that. There was none of that with this guy. He actually submitted and did everything that, in my head, if I was being arrested, what I would do. I would let myself go and be like, yes, go ahead, take me into prison. I will sue you there because I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Or if I did do something wrong, you know, I have to deal with it. But what he did is what, in my mind, I would do. I would just give myself up. And if that's the outcome, then there's change that definitely needs to be taking place.
I mean, we're Hispanic, Latino, and I think minorities don't have when you see a cop, it's not on or you deal with the police, it's not really under any good situation. It's they're there because either, I mean, I don't want to say it, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to say you're being racially profiled, but it's never under good terms. It's never, hey, what are you guys up to? Enjoy your day, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's always under just bad fucking pretenses or what are you guys doing here? I've gotten pulled over in Chicago when I was younger. The fucking cops weren't nice. They throw you on the hood of the car. They kick your legs open. I mean, I've experienced it. I mean, it's nothing new. I didn't lose my life. I mean, I fucking knew, like, right away, like, yes, sir, no, sir. I didn't start, I didn't try not to make it where I'm going to get my ass fucking beat by the police and then just, like, get the fuck out of here. So, I mean, it's just, and generally in poor neighborhoods, low, you know, economically deprived neighborhoods, your experience with the police is never good. It's there because there's something bad happened and they're trying to figure it out and they just fucking round up people and then they just start fucking talking shit to you or they're man because they're trying to get they're trying to do their job. Under right. My experience, it's never really like, when's the last time a police officer drove by just go, hey, how's it going, or walking around? And where I grew up and where I even live now, that never happens. I mean, it's right. Never happened. It's just they only show up when bad shit happens to people or they're trying to solve some shit. And their job is to, like, okay, I got to figure out. Everybody's a fucking suspect, you know. And then people lie to them constantly. And it's just, it's never a good situation.
Right.
It's difficult, though, because it's a very complicated situation when it comes to law enforcement and the civilian public. Because, yeah, I hear where you're coming from. You probably haven't seen it. I've seen only very few cases of that myself where they actually are friendly and, you know, just trying to be a part of the community. But it does exist, and it doesn't always get publicized. It doesn't always get the news. Most of the time, sorry about that. Some freaking motorcyclist over here.
Where's the cops when you need them?
Right? Now, what I was trying to say is that we only see the negative. Most yes. of that's what's portrayed in the media. That doesn't mean there's no good. There's cops out there. There's many good cops out there. Most cops, at least I hope most cops, become police officers to help the nation, to help the community. It's unfortunate what happened, man. And it's going to be a long time, I think, before things get normal in terms of, you know, the relationship with the police force. But I hope it causes some change. We'll see.
So speaking of that change, and Andy, you kind of mentioned it, the First Amendment, right? I assume everybody's okay with all the protests and people having demonstrations and getting together and demanding change, which they should. There needs to be change if things like this are prevalent out there. But what about the looting? There's been a lot of looting that's also been tied to this. Maybe not by the same groups, but people are taking advantage of these protests and the gatherings and taking this opportunity to loot. Now, I know a lot of businesses in my area where I live were looted and they were broken into and stolen from, and not to the severity as some other neighborhoods, you know, neighborhoods down by like Cicero on 22nd. You know, they were ravaged by looters. Downtown was ravaged by looters before they raised the bridges. And many communities were ravaged by looters. Do you think that this has a place in any of the protests?
Well, yeah. I mean, the protests, they're peaceful. I mean, yes, protests are you're going to disrupt stuff because you want your voice to be heard. But destroying businesses and fucking looting and setting shit on fire, flipping over cars, your whole message, I feel, is just it's gone by the website, by the wayside, because all everybody's going to talk about is that. And going back to the original protest in Minneapolis, the mayor, I believe the mayor made a strategic thing where he's like, I'm going to let them burn down the fucking stores and all this, because he's like, they got a vent, you know, this shit is like, they're going to slow down. And I think the country saw that, damn, they're letting them do this shit and nobody's going to fucking jail. So I think they followed with that, and it just fucking, it just morphed into what we saw. Like, big cities across America just fucking all hell, police just standing by and not really doing much because they didn't want it to look worse. And then you got the president fucking saying, get your shit together, or I'm going to send the military. And then people got even more pissed off because people don't want to see fucking tanks in major cities in the United States, because, you know, it just conjures up. You're supposed to see that in other parts of the world, not the United States. And there's a big debate about that going on right now. They need to... You're the fucking mayor and you're the governor. Like, you run that particular municipality or fucking state. I feel like you got to protect your tax base, your businesses, you know, and that I think they just let them do that. And people were like, and the counter to that was like, you value property more than lives. It's like, nah, well, some people that is their life, the business. And if they go, they burn that shit up, they're not going to recover from that, even if they have insurance or anything. It's very complex. And the officers, all of them, as we recorded, all been charged. They're going to go to court. You know, they're going to have their due process. And I mean, there's just no way I don't see them not going to prison. So, but all this other shit, all the destruction, the police are not really making efforts. And then you got people saying, oh, I'll go bail them out if they get arrested. They didn't get arrested for protesting. They got arrested because they were fucking up shit.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from on that. There's really nothing to be gained by destroying other people's businesses, hurting innocent individuals, I should say. And then it's more than just looting. People lost their lives throughout this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it, it's like, well, how can you justify one crime by committing another? You know, you want to hold the people who committed the crime accountable. Don't go out and then commit your own crimes. And then now innocent people are being affected. Innocent people are dying. And now you're just tainting this whole thing that was supposed to be about bringing justice to George Floyd. And now it's just not. It's not as clear cut anymore. It's not as pure. Now there's some gray area where it's like, whoa, now is protesting even something that we should be doing in this scale, you know, where it's you're causing people to lose their lives. You're causing people to lose their livelihoods.
And going back to when we had the shutdown because of the coronavirus, people were pissed that people were protesting because they're tired of the lockdown, people going up, especially in Michigan. And you had that governor fucking wanting people arrested. She arrested people. She was penalizing arresting people who were opening up their businesses. And she was there fucking dictating and lecturing people how this is unsafe. People are going to get sick. And then in the meantime, when this went down, she's out there telling people, yes, go protest. Yes, I'm not going to arrest people. And, you know, and I'll go with you. So what the fuck happened in that flip-flop? And, you know, it just goes to show you this is being politicized. And I don't want to say there's some secret agenda. I just don't understand that type of flip-flop. I mean, like, so the coronavirus doesn't exist no more. And, like, you see these mass gatherings. And the news media is just people. They were bitching about when people were going to beaches and, like, how we're going to spread the virus. Going to church.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and now they're just like, yeah, go protest. It's cool. I this is amazing. People are, you know, exercising their rights. And I'm just like, that's what I'm having a hard time comprehending, like that crazy flip flop. Because, I mean, the only thing that comes is because it's being politicized and they're trying to gain something out of this. And in the meantime, you know, when the people were protesting the lockdown, they were just fucking there berating them. Like, this is wrong. This is wrong. People are going to sick. Think about grandma. You're going to get grandma sick.
Or maybe they want people to get sick so they can extend this longer. Maybe there is something going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. I'm not trying to talk about hidden agendas and what my theories are of what's going on behind the scenes, but there's got to be something going on that we're not aware of that's being held secret from the public. It wouldn't be the first time. It's definitely not going to be the last time. There's too many coincidences. What the hell happened to the murder hornets? This big hubbub of murder hornets taking over the U.S. What happened? Nothing.
They're like, oh, man, it's fucked up there. We ain't going there.
This whole 5G stuff going on. It's like, I don't know, man. There's something going on behind the scenes. I'm sure people will be doing research
think about this.
I think you never know. It, you know, sometimes, like you said, Noel, the left hand is doing something to hide what the right hand is doing. And so something's happening over here so that you're distracted from what's going on over there. But I heard somebody mention everything that was going on kind of well. He compared it to a tinderbox. You know, like when you're making a fire, you gather, you know, small pieces of wood, you gather shavings of wood, and then you gather like a piece of paper or something, and then you get a spark. And they're saying that this killing was the spark, but there was many other things that kind of contributed to that. You know, first of all, the COVID being one of them, even though it's not directly related to this guy's death. But it was just a catalyst that just made this thing go off and ignite.
And Floyd had the coronavirus, you know, that broke, I think, a couple of days ago. So it just, like you said, it was a tinderbox. People were pissed with the lockdown. People weren't working. They're economically fucking stressed because how they're going to pay their bills. There's high unemployment because of the lockdown. And then this happened, and it's just like the perfect fucking storm, and all hell broke loose.
Well, all right. I was just researching a little bit. I came across this. I thought it was a meme, but I'm doing a little research now because I'm curious if it's true. It says quickly right here, while your TV was filled with riots and looting, it shows the date June 2nd, 2020. Hillary Clinton went to court and lost her case regarding the missing emails and will be forced to testify in September 6-3, 2020. Rod Rosenstein testified in front of the Senate regarding Russia, and it recommends Googling the video, as they say it's worth it, especially when Ted Cruz queries. 6-4, 2020, Senate votes to subpoena over 30 Obama officials in the Obamagate case. Did you see or hear anything about this? So that's interesting, man. I'm going to do some research on this. I encourage everybody else to do a little research, but it's definitely seems like some stuff is trying to be, pushed under the carpet.
That's usually how it happens. I mean, look at 9-11. 9-11 happened, and then what got passed? The Patriot Act. Before people knew it, this bill was on people's tables to vote for. A lot of senators didn't even get to read it. They were just like, hey, we're going to vote for this in 10 minutes. Here's like a 200-page document thing. And the guy's like, I can't read this. He's just like, well, we got to vote for it. You know, it's for America. It's for the safety. We got to do something. And so a lot of times when stuff happens, I'm not saying that this is one, but there is an alternative motive. And I don't know if that's what's going on here.
It's just, you know, yeah, there's some... the conspiracy theorist in me says, yeah, something's going on. And I think about it. They're telling people to go protest from like just 30, 40 days ago. They're telling you, stay home, stay home, stay home.
Yeah. I thought that was weird that the CDC said that. The CDC said something to the fact of, even though we're in phase 3, social distance, do this, wash our hands, do that. But if you are going to go protest, go protest.
Yeah. And then they're telling you, you know, go do this. And then we have an election coming up in November, right. And they're pushing like, oh, it's too dangerous to go somewhere and vote. We're going to do, mail. Like,
right.
But you're telling people to go protest. But one of our civic duties is to go fucking vote. And now you're telling that's too dangerous to go fucking vote. Let's do mail-in balloting or online, which could be fucking, I mean, I hoped, you know, we were not what?
Order fraud?
Some type of fraud in like right. mail-in balloting and like, it's just none of this shit makes sense, man. And I'm like, you're on the outside just like looking at everything. Like none of this shit makes sense. Even if you're left or right or center, I mean, look at the big fucking picture and like just step back and look at everything. Like none of this shit makes sense. And same thing with the pandemic, and they were fucking, they scared us into this lockdown, and then the shit's slowly trickling out. And like, oh, you don't worry about this. Remember, there's shit can spread through your eyes and like all this crazy shit. And now it's just like, oh, go protest. It's okay. Like, fuck, the coronavirus died too or something, you know, and like this is fucking insane.
Well, I think kind of to that point, Andy, you even mentioned it in your conversation that there's been new studies that say it's only through contact to contact, not really surface area, or surface areas is less likely. So maybe because of these more studies, and now I'm just putting on my non-conspiracy hat, maybe they're just restricting the severity of the COVID exposure, and maybe it's okay to go protest and be next to each other. I doubt it. To me, it's counterintuitive to what they've been drilling through our heads for the last month, but I don't know, maybe it's less impactful, you know, to be out there amongst other people.
Well, I just noticed a big silence from the WHO, from doctors. I hear a lot of politicians talking, yeah, do this, do that, you can go out and protest. What are doctors saying? You know, doctors would ultimately would know whether or not this is going to be, you know, possible to do without getting more people sick. Is the coronavirus dying now that the weather's getting warm, or actually hot as fuck over here in Chicago?
Right. And that is supposedly a theory. It hasn't been tested and proven yet. And then for all these protests and all these gatherings, they're saying that we probably won't know the true impact for at least 2 weeks, because sometimes it takes 2 weeks for the symptoms to come about. So I think 2 weeks from now, it's going to be very interesting to see how this curve goes and whether we see a huge spike and then the narrative change back to COVID. The second phase is here. What are we going to do, kind of thing?
No, yeah, it's like I said, I get it. They're learning more and more, but we took drastic steps to prevent this spread, and like you literally killed the fucking economy, and now it's just like a flip of a switch. Oh, okay, it's cool now. Everybody could go outside. That's what I don't understand. So was it really that fucking serious, or did they kind of know? I mean, we spent a shit ton of money. We created new ways to test here in this country, you know, and it's just like, oh, okay, it's cool now here. Yeah, you guys can go and protest. And like, and when people were protesting 60 days ago, people are like, these people are fucking insane. They're fucking, they're putting everybody's lives at risk by going out there. And it's just like, well, now it's just like, we have 100 times more people protesting, and now it's just like, oh, it's cool. Go do what you got to do.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. I would understand. And then the news media isn't really helping when they're blurring the lines between protesters and looters. And like, you know, that there's two different things going on here. And our politicians in the big cities ain't really doing much when they're telling the police to not do anything, just let them do what they got to do, which to me didn't make sense. But I guess they're so afraid what they're going to say if they go out there busting heads, when you need them to be like to handle shit, and they're so scared, I guess, in my opinion, how they're going to be portrayed now, especially after what happened in Minneapolis. So they're just like, we're not going to do anything. And then stuff's coming out how certain district attorneys are not going to press charges against anybody of the protesters if you get arrested. So I was just like, you're adding more fuel to the fire of people like, look, we can do whatever the fuck we want. They're not charging anybody. They're not doing anything about it. And so that's where I'm like, fuck, what exactly is going on?
Right. And then all these places that lost their livelihoods, even household people. When I was at home, I think it was Sunday night when the protests were and the looting was getting out of control outside of downtown and it was sprinkling to the suburbs. I was worried for myself because I was just surfing through Facebook and just seeing videos upon videos of people looting stores and going from businesses to residential areas. And then the threat of, are they going to start bum rushing residential houses? And so I did my little that I could do here to kind of fortify the house in case something were to happen. And I didn't sleep much that night, man. I was looking out the window, making sure everything was going to be safe. Slept for a few hours, looked again, slept. But it was difficult, man. And that's not the way I want to live for the rest of my life, man. This thing's got to get better, man. And if it means that cops need to get forceful, I don't know if that's the answer, man, because just like we were talking about the tinderbox, I don't know if this is something that you want to add to it, because it might just make that fire even more. But something needs to happen to reassure the residents, reassure the taxpayer, the citizens of the United States that everything is safe and it's going to go towards a direction of getting better and not just get worse. So I don't know, man. They need to do something, or I don't know what the answer is, but it's scary at times for I'm sure tons of residents.
Yeah, no, definitely scary times, complicated times. But at the core of it all, I think what we want is, like what you said, for everybody to be safe. And that does start with the police acknowledging that there is racism right in their force, and that it needs to be cleaned up. And there needs to be an active effort to clean up any racism left in the country, because there should be nobody in power that has these really drastic, radical racial views. It should be all of us uniting as Americans to try to make this a better place for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta talk more, and it's okay for you to disagree with other people. I think that we have this mindset, if you don't hear, you have to hear opposing views, and if we don't agree with them, I'm not gonna listen. I mean, we gotta come back to, like, yeah, I don't agree with you. It's okay to disagree with people. And we have such a fucking divided view. Like, I'm not going to listen to nobody if they support this or they support that. Like, it's okay, man. It's okay for people to disagree. It's been going on forever. It's going to keep on going. But you can't completely shut them out or shut down people who don't agree with your views. Just listen and go, I don't agree with this shit, and be done with it. You don't got to be fucking friends or nothing. I mean, but it's okay. It's okay for us to disagree. And it was great to see. I was watching a podcast. Joe Rogan had one with these two people who put different political views, and there was some disagreement there, but they talked out. They didn't fucking kill each other. It was great. I saw someone post Rush Limbaugh was in the Breakfast Club with, you know, Charlamagne the God and the other two hosts. And, you know, he just recently had Joe Biden, and Joe Biden said, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. And then the next week they got fucking Rush Limbaugh, conservative legend, you know, and he's out there. They're arguing. They're throwing out their facts, but they didn't get at each other's throats. And that's a start. I mean, I would never imagine fucking Rush Limbaugh would go on the Breakfast Club. I was kind of shocked to see that. But I mean, that's what we need. We just listen and just go, I don't agree with this, or, well, it's a different point of view. I never thought about it. I mean, and that's all it's going to take, I think. And it just starts from there. And, you know, we could all move on. And it's okay, man. People are going to disagree. I think America needs to listen to that. There's people on my Facebook feed that I don't agree with, and I check it out. But if they constantly post, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to fucking snooze on people, because I'm tired of seeing the same fucking shit. But please don't snooze us on the Freeform Network on Facebook or Twitter, man. But we want to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions, suggestions. You're dealing with the police over the years, younger, older. I mean, it's a good, bad experience, to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Hit us up. Let us know your experience with police, with people of authority, except Karens. I wouldn't mind. I don't want no emails from Karens asking for them to speak to our supervisors.
Right.
But check out our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see us. Our links to on all the platforms. We're on Stitcher, Spotify. I think we just added two new ones recently, Dan, if you could refresh my memory on that.
Yeah, we added a few new ones. They're towards the bottom of the list, but there are new ones that we just branched out and got a few more podcasts.
We're still on the tried and true iTunes and Podbean. There, hit the like, subscribe, comment, do what you guys do. Freeform Radio, guys, we have Danny.
Yes, sir. Stay safe out there, people. Protests. Do your First Amendment right, but stay safe and don't cause any damage to hardworking people's property.
Great. Noel.
Same thing, pretty much. You summed it up perfectly. Hope everybody's doing well. Just try to stay safe out there.
And it's all good, Andy. Thank you guys for listening. It's okay to disagree. It's what makes the world go around, people. But we'll check you out next time. And you guys have a good week.
That was cool, Dad.